Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We're grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember to visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And also, if you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and listen to it there. Details can be found on the website gncm.ca. Today, as we continue looking at the Word of God and the message of Christ, I wanted to share with you a message from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in which he speaks about the way that God reaches us through a very extraordinary and very different kind of message. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, and I must say that in the context in which he's writing this letter, he's writing to people who seem to have been jockeying for position, trying to exalt themselves over each other, trying to say that they're better Christians than the other ones. And this unfortunately happens in the church sometimes. As we strive to live truthfully, we sometimes forget to live humbly. So Paul writes to them and he says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. The Jews demand miraculous signs, and the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and things that are not to nullify the things that are. And that way no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power." This is the Word of God taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 18, to chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to take a look at this scripture in a few moments, but as Paul focuses on the crucifixion of Christ, I'd like you to hear a very old hymn sung by a Winchester native, a very famous singer from a previous generation. And this is The Old Rugged Cross, sung by George Beverly Shea from his album I'd Rather Have Jesus. Please listen to it with me. The apostle relates to the Corinthians as he writes to them about how he first came to them, when he first came to the city of Corinth, and he had resolved in his mind to speak about Jesus Christ crucified. Very often when you're communicating, you want to give people what they want. You want to have them hear what they were expecting to hear. But Paul has decided to stick to the message that he has to bring and to deliberately turn away from the expectations of his hearers. Because he knows, having preached the message of the gospel in many different places, he's come to understand that there are different things that people are looking for. He talks about how his own people, the Jews, they like to see miraculous signs. They like miracles to confirm that God is at work. Because in truth, they've always known about a God who works in history, who parted the Red Sea, who delivered the people of Israel through the wilderness, feeding them with bread from nowhere and giving them water in the dry land and leading them into the promised land and showing them many miraculous signs to keep them on track every time they strayed. They were used to God showing his power, and they were expecting a demonstration of power if they're going to listen to something that was going to change their lives. And Paul, a citizen of the Roman Empire, had also known that the culture in which he moved was a culture that very much loved wisdom and philosophy. It was a talk culture. people sitting back and arguing and debating and thinking things through. The Greek culture was the culture that had brought Plato and Socrates and so many Greek philosophers to the forefront. And in the present day, in the day of Paul, they were still people arguing and debating and trying to refine philosophy. Neither the Greeks or Jews were scientists, as we would call them. The Greeks preferred to think about things rather than experiment on things. And the Jews, while they wanted proofs of God's miraculous work, they were interested in evidence. They weren't doing scientific investigation like we've done in the modern era. But I believe that if Paul were coming into the present day, he wouldn't put as much weight on the scientific method as we tend to do. I think he would have focused on his message just as he did then, to talk about Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ dying on the cross confounds the expectations of our world. You see, Jesus dying on the cross doesn't seem like the smartest move. I mean, if you want to influence the world, you've got to stick around. You've got to stay, and you've got to continue teaching and publishing and broadcasting and having influence in all kinds of ways. Dying on the cross seems a very poor way to save the world. And yet, this Jesus, who died at a very young age, probably around 33 years of age, this Jesus who lived within a very small geographical area and did all his ministry within probably 100 miles of his home, this Jesus has changed the world more than any other person ever. Isn't it amazing how Jesus Christ crucified has confounded the wisdom of the world? That this odd time, an odd place, was the fulcrum of history, and from there Jesus Christ could change an empire in which he was not even a citizen, and a world which thoroughly had rejected him during life. There's a modern musical, I think it was by a Broadway musical at first before it became a movie, Jesus Christ Superstar. And it was filled with modern music and some modern reinterpretations of Jesus' life, and had some really strong points and some not so strong points. But I think one of the most insightful songs was the theme song, Jesus Christ Superstar, in which they asked the question, Jesus Christ, who are you? What have you sacrificed? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ Superstar. Do you think you're who they say you are? And in the verses of that song, it asks the question, why did you come to such a backward land in such a backward time? Israel in 4 BC didn't have any mass communication. Israel in 4 BC didn't have radio and television and internet. It didn't have any way of getting the message out to the whole world. What a strange place for God to send his son. Why not today, when Jesus could be on the world stage and be involved in global events and whose words could be winged across the earth at the speed of light? And yet, this Jesus, with all those handicaps, all those weaknesses, all the strangeness of time and place, has confounded the advice that he would have gotten from marketers and PR people and campaign managers. Instead, the wisdom of God is revealed. What looks like foolishness to us, like as though God were being as foolish as he possibly could, and then God turns out to be wiser than the greatest of human wisdom. And likewise, as Paul looks at the cross and sees it as an indication of weakness, he looks at that cross and he says, look, it's not a miracle that he should die. A miracle would be God whisking him off that cross and killing all the soldiers that were crucifying him and confounding all the people who had asked for his death. But instead, Jesus dies in weakness. breathing out his last breath on the cross, commending his spirit to his Father, and saying, "It is finished." It sure looked like it was finished. That was God at his weakest. And yet, as Paul notes, God at his weakest is stronger than all mankind. All the power of man, all the power of creation and the universe is found in Christ crucified, because Christ crucified has changed billions of lives. Christ crucified has redeemed people from the pit. Christ crucified has shown the love of God in an undeniable way. The God who forgave from the cross is the God who can forgive us. This is all good news. Good news about God being wiser and more powerful, even when it seems like he's being foolish and weak. Well, it is the power of love at work, and I'd love to have you listen to this message from Carolyn Ahrens, my favorite Canadian singer-songwriter, from her album Seize the Day and Other Stories, The Power of Love. Would you listen to it with me? The power of love, that power of Jesus dying on the cross, the wisdom of God laying down his life for his lost people, this has been proven to be the greatest power and the greatest wisdom. And when Paul is addressing the people of Corinth, he brings it right to the point, because he says to them who are jockeying for position, who want to be powerful in the community, who want to be recognized as wiser than others, he says, wait a second here. When you were called, did God call you because you were the smartest person? Did he call you because you were the most influential? Did he call you because you had noble birth? Think about that even today. How many of you listening to this program have royal blood flowing in your veins? How many of you are in charge of great multinational organizations? Do you think that God is only interested in the things that are powerful in this world and the people that are wise in this world? Far be it. The power of this world is nothing to God, because even his weakness is greater than that. So then why do we try so often to get a reputation in this world? Why do we try so often to gain power and influence for as though it will benefit us? Instead, we can follow the example of the wisest person who's ever lived, Jesus Christ. We can follow him in what seems to the world to be foolishness, of helping the helpless, of loving our enemies, of forgiving those who have hurt us and seeking to bless those who persecute us. We can follow the foolishness of God and end up being wiser than the world. And we're not called in this passage to brag about how stupid we are. My goodness, that's not the point. God is not exalting human foolishness. He's not exalting people who are short-sighted or arrogant or proud, even if they're proud of knowing nothing. He's instead calling us to know what Jesus knows, to learn humbly from the one who the world of Paul's day might have considered a failure, to learn from Jesus Christ, Christ who was crucified. We can follow this Lord and understand that his way can sometimes seem confusing, can sometimes seem backwards, that sometimes seems to give the advantage to the other person, the one that we've forgiven, who goes around and maybe repeats the offense. But Jesus, in his patience, was able to reach sinners like us by emulating his patience and by allowing his love to work through us. We can see the wisdom of God and the power of God at work through what appears to human beings as foolishness and weakness. We don't do this alone. In fact, we've got such a difficult task to sort out what is wise and what is foolish, to know what is truly God's will when our own mind sometimes is in contention with God, trying to do things our way instead of listening carefully to his way. This can be a difficult challenge, but God has given us his word, the scriptures, which we can study and learn from. And he's also given us his Holy Spirit to guide us and give us understanding of what he's revealed in his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and which is the very presence of Christ to live in us, so that we don't have to engage in this work through our own strength, but can let the power of God work through us to show others his grace. When Paul came to Corinth, he was able to demonstrate not eloquent words, but just speak the truth. And he wasn't able to show them how much stronger he was than others. In fact, Paul very often got beaten up by others because of what he had to say. But he didn't fight back and prove that he was a more muscular, a more skilled combatant. Instead, he allowed the sufferings that he went through to demonstrate to others the intensity and thoroughness of his belief. And when it came down to power, the only power that he depended on was the Spirit's power, was the Holy Spirit to take the message, that seemed like such foolishness and wing it into the hearts of his listeners so that they would turn from their ways and would come and follow Jesus Christ and embrace the love and the grace of God. We too can do this as we speak the message just simply and with conviction. We can tell others of God's love. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, help us to understand you, to be proud of what you do, whether it seems foolish in this world or whether it seems wise, whether it seems weak or whether it seems strong. We know that you are our God and you are mighty to save. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, I do thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. Your prayers and your comments are a great help to us, and also so is your financial support. You could be a sponsor of a weekly broadcast. You could make an annual donation that helps to support one or more programs during the year, or make a smaller donation that, combined with the gifts of others, enables us to continue to meet the costs of broadcasting. You can donate on our website, or make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, and we'll be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. Please be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Now, to conclude our program, I would like to have you listen to a song called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, which is from a collection of music called A Celebration of Hymns. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Thank you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.